This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
College holds a mythic place in American culture. But there are stories you won't hear on the campus tours.
The higher-ups are concerned about one thing, and that is avoiding scandal.
I'm Margot Gray. On the new podcast, Campus Files, we cover everything from rigged admissions to the drama of Greek life and student protests. Listen to and follow Campus Files, an Odyssey original podcast, available now on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
Good morning, everybody, and happy Thursday. Thursday, we got Chris Harrington straight up at 10 o'clock. I'm confident in saying that because we also have Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, and Friday. So Thursday, we'll have Chris Harrington, and a good day to have him because it's NBA trade deadline day. In addition, Jeffrey, to being National Chopstick Day, how do you feel about chopsticks?
I would say I am functional at best with chopsticks.
If you go to a restaurant which has as its main implement for conveying food from the plate to your mouth, chopsticks, but it's got some forks or spoons or whatever else around for the losers amongst us, right? Do you gamely try to eat with the chopsticks, or do you just say, screw that, I'm eating with the implement that I grew up with?
So if it's sushi, I'll use the chopsticks. If it's like hibachi, I really struggle using chopsticks with rice.
So that's ridiculous.
Yeah.
I can pick something up with a chopstick, kind of. I don't find it comfortable. I'm not good at it. And sushi, I pick up with my fingers, honestly. Sushi, I grab that damn piece of sushi with my fingers, mostly, I think. And I'm pretty much, at my age and stage, I've decided I'm never going to become fluent in chopstick. Anyway, trade deadline day and National Chopstick Day. Chris Harrington will join us straight up at 10 o'clock. And then, because it is Thursday, we got right into our trivia, although before the show began, there was some suspense as to whether we have a Writer Than Right trivia prize, which would make it trickier. Normally we got a spectacular prize to give to the people, anyone who either can defeat you, good luck with that, or play honorably.
Jeff, we do indeed. It's another win 'em before you can buy them. Coming to Bank Plus Amphitheater on June 13th, we got Kansas, 38 Special, and Jefferson Starship, all coming to Bank Plus, and you can win them before you can buy them. They'll go on sale tomorrow.
How many of those Kansans do you think are actually original Kansans?
Probably enough to legally call themselves
enough
Kansans.
Enough to legally call them Kansans. I saw the Eagles were at the, you know, playing in Las Vegas.
Yeah, they played at the Sphere.
Yeah, they're playing in the Sphere. I see on Facebook a lot of people have schlepping out there to see them. But at least two of the Eagles are gone, right?
So Glenn Frey is no longer with us.
And the guy, take it to the limit, Randy Meisner,
but he left the band.
Well, that's okay, but he also left.
You still got Don Henley,
I think Vince Gill is now with the Eagles.
Well, I think Glenn Fry's son does
the small fry.
Yeah, the small fry. But you still That's got Don Henley, you still got Timothy B. Schmidt, you still got Joe Walsh, and I know Walsh is not an original member, but you still got...
Yeah, original enough.
Yeah.
Anyway. Okay, so we got Kansas and Jefferson Starship.
Correct, and 38 Special.
And 38 Special. So that's the prize. Like, once again, a fabulous prize. Kevin Cerrito, I presume he's regained his voice.
He's back with us.
Show. We'll play Right and Right Trivia in the second hour. Big second hour. Big day today because the clock ticking as we count down to 2 o'clock when the trade deadline ends. Now, things can trickle in after 2 o'clock, but your show, Jeffrey, is going to be smack in the middle of this. You'll be doing a trade deadline finale show. All the results will be in for your show. Are you excited?
So I've kind of gotten used to it by this point because I've been doing the 2 to 4 show for long enough.
Right. Yeah.
And this is kind of how it is. Unless we just have a day where the Grizzlies sell every single person, I think it's just going to be somewhat, like, I'm not saying I don't think the Grizzlies are going to make moves, but I don't know if it's going to be, oh my God, like the type of moves where you're like, okay, how do we cover this? Because what's the information? Like, it's usually kind of recapping what we already know.
It feels like, let's be honest, it has been absolutely seismic across the NBA and was again last night. Listen, we got games to talk about. We got a Memphis Tigers game to talk about.
By the way, Jeff, that's three straight twofer nights.
Three straight,
yeah,
twofer nights. Three straight Tigers and Grizzlies both winning on the same night.
Yep.
We're on a roll, ladies and gentlemen. And we'll talk about that Tigers game. They defeated Tulsa by 12, handily. A sluggish beginning. Whatever. They did what they do. And then won comfortably, although I don't think covered, right? I think won comfortably but did not cover.
Yeah, I think it was 15 or 16.
Yeah, they do not really cover against bad teams. But anyway, Tigers win. We'll talk about that. But we will start with the NBA and everything that happened. And it's kind of stunning because as all these teams, particularly, let's be honest, in the West, remake themselves as we look ahead towards the playoffs. You got the Lakers remaking themselves. Another deal last night to get Mark Williams, who we just saw destroyed they didn't destroy the Grizzlies because the Grizzlies prevailed, but he had 38-9 against the Grizzlies. So the Lakers adding Luka, now adding Mark Williams.
They used the pieces that they didn't have to use to get Luka. The what they talked them out of, they used those pieces to go get Mark Williams.
That is true, because they didn't have to give up Dalton Connect and a first in the deal for Luka. They were able to use it to get Mark Williams. Those valuables to get Mark Williams. So you've got the Lakers fortifying themselves. You've got Dallas remaking themselves, whether fortifying or not. I'll let you decide. We've got the Spurs fortifying themselves. Whether they'll be in the playoffs or not remains to be seen, but still, they have fortified themselves. Hell, the Kings, even the Kings, are going out and getting Jonas last night after adding Zach LaVine. Like, you can say they're better or worse or whatever, but they're clearly fortifying themselves. We also have, on the health front, the news is that Chet Holmgren is suddenly healthy.
So happy for them.
He will make his return Friday. I do wonder what that means. Oklahoma City's playing here Saturday. So will he play? I don't know. We'll see. We'll see what it looks like in his return. But Oklahoma City gets Chet Holmgren back. And then, of course, we have the Warriors fortifying themselves last night by adding Jimmy Butler. All that is happening. And we'll look at those trades more closely here in a moment. All of that is happening as the Grizzlies are comfortably just being themselves and being the best version of themselves. And as we just said, rolling. Like, the Grizzlies, without adding pieces so far, are rolling. Or they're adding, to the extent they're adding pieces off the injury list. They demolish the Raptors last night, trailed at the half, but then third quarter, Jeffrey, was 43-25. Fourth quarter was 42-23. That makes 85 points in the second half, 85-48. I would say that is terrific. See what I did there?
Yeah, I do.
Maybe a stretch. Mm-hmm. Maybe a stretch. Okay, I take that one back. I'm not taking back small fry, which I thought was pretty good in the moment, but I am taking back terrific. Anyway, 43-25 in the third quarter, 42-23 in the fourth quarter, 85 points in the second half. And do you remember, Jeffrey, I think it was long ago, like 36, 48 hours ago, that people were wondering how Ja and Jaren, now that Jaren was emerging as a star, how could he and Ja comfortably share the spotlight? Seemed to be sharing it pretty damn well. Jaren, unbelievable once again, 32 points. That is the third straight time, third straight game in which he's had 30 or more, which is the first time he's ever done that. Third straight of 30 or more. Ninth straight of 20 or more for Jaren. Is that good? That good? I don't think that good, Jeffrey. I think that's good.
I mean,
right?
Jeff, we can always be better.
Yeah. Well, you could get to 10 straight with 20 or more, I guess. Anyway, but 32 points on 16 attempts in 28 minutes seems pretty damn good. So when Jaren is doing that, the stuff that he does, and by the way, you can read Drew Hill's last piece in the series that he has done on Jaren's stunning, remarkable off-the-court summer that he had. And it's particularly remarkable, again, as I said earlier, and as Drew points out, he's blowing up as a basketball player at the same time that he is wildly expanding his horizons as a human being. So both things are possible. Anyway, Ja, so Jaren gets 32. Ja gets 26, 5 rebounds, 4 assists in a mere 25 minutes. It is the fourth time this season and the second consecutive game when both of those players topped 25 points. So, all right, you got all these stars realigning in the West, but you have the Memphis Stars, this is without Dez, the Memphis Stars playing as well together as they have ever played. So we'll see. Will the Grizzlies add something? Maybe. But let's be honest. The source of optimism in Memphis isn't about what they have to recreate, because they're remaking their core on the fly. Like, for example, in Los Angeles or in San Francisco, it's Jaren and Ja playing sensationally together. You also had just a whole bunch of fun stuff. Zach Edey, 13-15. That is his third straight double-double. First Grizzly to have a double-double points and rebounds since rookie. First Grizzlies rookie to have a double-double points and rebounds since Powell. And is that, can that possibly be true? I think that's true.
I guess Jaren never did, nor Brandon.
Yeah. Sometimes my research, we'll see. Could be a little shaky there. Gigi was 17, looking great again. Gigi is starting to string things together. I mean, basically it was everybody chipping in. The Canadians, Zach Edey said he was inspired by the anthem. Brandon Clark, 13, also might have been moved by the anthem. Scottie Pippen probably didn't care much about the anthem one way or another. He scored 12. And we had the return of Marcus Smart and of Vince Williams Jr. Now, that could be it for Marcus Smart. The name that is being tossed around from the Grizzlies more than any other is Marcus Smart. Now, last night, 18 minutes, 0 for 6, 0 of 3. Looked rusty, right?
Yeah.
Vince same, also looked rusty. He did, though, Vince things, 13 minutes, and he was already, you know, he had 2 steals. basically, in a span of 30 seconds, too. He had 13 minutes, 4 points, 4 rebounds, 2 assists, 2 steals. He kind of looked like Vince, actually. And then Marcus Cook kind of looked like really, really rusty Marcus. And so, I mean, there are other names like Jake LaRavia seems to be the odd man out, right? As Vince comes back, as Marcus Smart comes back, as Gigi is already back, whatever, it appears like Jake LaRavia is the odd man out. And I don't think we'd be surprised at all to see him moved for something, right?
Yeah. Just whatever. Given they didn't extend him last summer.
Given that they didn't extend him. But the big name, either in a matching salary in a big deal, for example, for Cam Johnson, which would also involve multiple first round picks or something like that. It's Marcus's salary either in that or in what Chris Harrington called the escape hatch deal, yeah. Which is basically just getting Marcus Smart's salary off your books. So, you know, you're going to give more, you're going to shovel money at Jaren and probably Santi. And so who needs Marcus's salary cluttering all that up, given what little we have seen from him? Although, as you have said before, playoff Marcus, still a thing that could be valuable, still a thing that could come in handy if you play, well, anyone really. But I mean, we've talked about it explicitly with a Houston team that is out toughing you. And so that's the one that bears watching probably more than any other. I think I will be mildly surprised if they do nothing. Mildly surprised if they do nothing. Won't be disappointed if they do nothing. I'll be mildly surprised if they do nothing. And I'll talk myself into it if they do something. That's what I do. I tend to when they make trades. Has there ever been a trade they made that you just hated?
The only thing that comes to mind is a trade they didn't make when they had Tyreek and they
right Tyreek.
But like, I can't really remember one where they made
it. The Justice Winslow trade was not particularly. There are a lot of folks who thought they overpaid across the league who thought they overpaid.
Yeah, they had
the money, and then money they took back and whatever. But it was a swing. It was a swing. I didn't, you know, whatever. I didn't hate that deal. It is true that in terms of this front office, right? We've talked about how wildly successful they are at drafting, right? Just almost inconceivable how good they are at drafting. Trades?
Not so much
at the margin, you know, like whatever they get the Anthony Melton for, like they make small deals but the big swings, the Justice Winslow swing, which are a pretty big swing at the time, the Marcus Smart swing now for reasons of health as much as anything else, you know, doesn't seem like it worked out. The Steven Adams was in the end that worked out fine, right?
I think it's fair to say that one actually worked out.
It was a success.
Because at the time, people thought he was done. And, yeah, it didn't end great because of the injury, but he was successful in what they wanted.
And because the draft pick you got turned out to be a bust.
Right.
Zaire, right? Like, in the end, you got Zaire. You traded up to get Zaire. He was a bust. Let's be honest. He was a bust. That's what he was. He was a bust. And then Steven Adams in the end got hurt. I think that's a win, though. I think that trade was a win. But anyway, we will see what they do. You'll be fine if they do nothing?
Yeah, I think I will be, because in the end, like, you're going to – like, all the deals that you could probably do, I think you'd have the opportunity to do them this summer, and I'd rather kind of see – rather than try to like implement something new, like let's see how far this can go.
Yeah, I mean, you don't have if Oklahoma City acquires Cam Johnson, you can't acquire him this summer, right? I mean, like whatever.
Right.
Like, there are things that I don't particularly whatever. But so it'll be interesting. It'll be an interesting, and it's interesting particularly because, as we've said, all these teams out west are remaking themselves, and last night. The big deal, Jimmy Butler, to the Warriors for Andrew Wiggins, basically, as this Andrew Wiggins and a first, the centerpiece of that, Kyle also involved in that. Dennis Schroeder, who the Lakers who the Warriors had acquired recently, mm-hmm. is rerouted to Utah as part of this. PJ Tucker goes to, but basically it's Andrew Wiggins and a first and whatever,
yeah.
and some pieces. And it obviously started with the Warriors trying to get Kevin Durant. And when Kevin Durant said, for whatever reason, that he had no interest in going to the Warriors, they moved on. Did it surprise you that Kevin Durant had no interest? It did a little to me, because it's all relative. It's. I understand you might have some misgivings about going to the Warriors, given that people last time you went, people called you a ring chaser, or a cheap ring chaser, as you call them. But I don't think people would call you that this time around. And if the alternative is staying on a Suns team that appears to be going nowhere, I kind of would have thought he would have preferred going to the Warriors. But he did not. Did that surprise you?
Not really, because it kind of felt like, all right, you're kind of going to a similar situation no matter what.
I get that. Enough already. And do they have a real chance? No one thinks they have a real chance to win a title.
Right.
Right. They have
moving
a
stinks.
They have a chance to do things like the Lakers did when they were old last year. So the Warriors move on, and they acquire Jimmy Butler. Had earlier had misgivings about Jimmy. Both sides had misgivings. Jimmy Butler said he wasn't going to sign a new deal with the Warriors, and the Warriors were worried about, let's see, they were worried about his health. They were worried about his attitude. They were a little worried about his fit because, among other things, he's not a great shooter. The truth of the matter is, one of the problems with the Warriors this year is, except for Steph, they don't have a lot of shooting on that team. And Andrew Wiggins is a better and more prolific 3-point shooter than Jimmy Butler. Jimmy Butler helps him in other ways, but so they worried about the money, the fit, the health, the attitude, all that stuff. But in the end, decided to do it because playoff Jimmy. Like, in the end, Jimmy Butler agreed to not pick up his option and instead agreed to sign a new deal for 2 years, $111 million. He signs the deal that he said he wouldn't, and gets that deal. And the Warriors now have him for two more years after this one, unless, of course, in year two, he gets unhappy because they haven't given him another contract, in which case, who knows what kind of hell we'll pay. But I do think...
Who could ever predict that?
I do think their upside is higher. Like, I do believe, just because of playoff Jimmy, look where he took the freaking Heat, you know? I think their upside is higher. I think they become more scary. Do you not think? And by the way, they didn't have to really give up any of their, like, you know, Kuminga, Pajemski. They keep those guys. They have to give up their first this year, which is top 10 protected. And then Andrew Wiggins, which is basically swapping out that, you know, that player and an upgrade, a defensive upgrade, better creating. The Warriors have a real problem when Steph is off the court creating offense. I think it's a net win. I think the trade makes sense for both teams. You?
Yeah. I mean, I guess the question is, like, are they scarier or are they just different?
I think they're scarier. Andrew Wiggins never scared me.
Okay. How scary can a 500 basketball team get with one move with a disgruntled 36-year-old that's not shooting the ball particularly well?
You got I think if you have Steph, Jimmy Butler, and Draymond on your basketball team, you can think that you might lose a playoff series to them.
In 2017, sure.
If they make the playoffs, you know. You don't find him scary at all. Utterly unpersuaded by this.
No, I was fine with that move.
Okay, let me ask you this.
All right.
Before the Lakers picked up Mark Williams,
yep,
would you have been more scared, if you, as a Grizzlies supporter, more scared of the Lakers or the Warriors?
The Lakers, because...
Before the Mark Williams deal.
Yeah. Because
and now afterwards, you're clearly more scared of the Lakers, right?
Yes, absolutely. The problem with the Grizzlies is they've had a tough time defending LeBron and Luka individually. Well, now you got to defend both of them, and like that scares me more than whatever the war, whatever this version of the reanimated Warriors is.
Well, then what happened last night didn't help because the Lakers, as we said, because the Lakers.
I found myself getting more upset at the Mavericks.
More enraged.
Yes.
More enraged at the Mavericks because the Mavericks, having not extracted Dalton Knecht, having not extracted the other first from the Lakers were able to turn around, ship those two, Cam Reddish, off to Charlotte for Mark Williams, who is a giant man. What's weird is that's it. Mark Williams is who Anthony Davis wanted to like that player. Anthony Davis was like, please get a center. Please get a center. Please get a center. They trade Anthony Davis. Then they go to get a center.
And, we will, Anthony. Hang in there.
Yes, we will. Just hang on. Be patient.
Yeah.
Be patient. We got to move some parts around.
Mm-hmm.
You included. Anyway, I think that's a hell of a deal for the Lakers. Hell of a deal. By the way, that scary Dalton Knecht era that we had to fear as Grizzlies fans who watched them let Dalton Knecht go to the Lakers, that nightmare is over. If it was ever, it never was my nightmare, but it was a nightmare that some conjured.
All I kept thinking about was he is going to get up so many shots in Charlotte the rest of the year.
He will get up shots. Yes, he will get up shots. Anyway, so the Lakers do that. And to me, it made a lot of sense for the Lakers and does make them more terrifying. Jonas to the Kings for basically a couple of seconds. The weird thing there is he really can't play next to Sabonis. Like that's too much leaden footedness there.
Yeah, but sometimes you got to add some extra onuses.
Sometimes, right? The onus is on them to
correct.
Be right, exactly. And they needed a backup center, and I guess that's what he will be. Some weird stuff happened. Lonzo Ball, who we talked about yesterday, the Bulls extended him.
Yeah,
nice story given his health, but they extended him for two more years. So what's weird is the Bulls and the Raptors both are teams that like okay. They finally decided to rebuild. Like we saw the Bulls do that. They traded Zach LaVine, right? The Bulls are finally, they're rebuilding. And the Raptors last year, when they traded Pascal Siakam for 3-1s, they're like, okay, we gotta pick a different course. We gotta take a step back before we take a step forward. Both of those teams, the Bulls extending Lonzo and Toronto going and getting Brandon Ingram. Just kind of curious. I mean, last year, literally, it was basically at this time they traded Pascal Siakam. They said, we got to pick another course. And then they went out and got Brandon Ingram, using, by the way, one of the first round picks that they got for Pascal Siakam. Brandon Ingram is an unrestricted free agent at the end of this year. I'm going to go ahead and guess that they made that deal knowing that they would be able to extend him, because what would be the point otherwise, right? Why would you give up Bruce Brown, Kelly Olynyk, and picks for a Brandon Ingram if you didn't know that you would be able to extend him? So they're obviously going to extend him, and so then you got Scotty Barnes and R.J. Barrett and Brandon Ingram and Grady Dick, and that's your team. And they'll play the Canadian anthem before every game, so that's good.
Also liked how that had some baseball vibes, because I think that trade broke during the game that Olynyk was playing.
Oh, no, they both played in that game.
Yeah.
Olynyk and Bruce Brown both played in that game. By the way, I am not actually of the Grizzlies uniforms, and I'm not a uniform guy. I have improved my style since.
Shout out Oak Hall.
Shop at Oak Hall. But I'm not a uniform guy. But of the Grizzlies' alternate uniforms, I dramatically prefer the Sounds one to the Vancouver one, which may be a minority opinion.
Matter of age. Like if you're the kid of the 90s, last night really hit you in the feels.
Well, no. This is all a wind up to I liked it last night. This is all a caveat. I'm not a big fan of it, but last night to have those two teams in those uniforms was perfect.
I guess that generally, my other thing is I feel like we overdo the Sounds thing. The Sounds uniform is becoming wrestling night for me.
I feel like we overdo the I feel like we overdo the original Vancouver Grizzlies one. I do you think you do have more sounds than Grizzlies? Just the other night we had the Grizzlies.
Every time like I turn on a national TV, it's like we're wearing the sounds, and we're just the problem with the sounds jerseys for me is like it just becomes confusing uniform night.
Well, why don't you feel the same way about the Timberwolves? The original Vancouver one.
Because I'm a kid of the 90s.
But okay, well, why isn't that? That's not confusing to you, though.
Yeah.
That's not confusing, but the sounds is confusing? Why?
Yeah, because
one's red?
Well, no, one has Grizzlies on it.
Okay. I'm pretty clear that the sounds aren't actually the sounds. And just to be clear also, I may be old, but I'm not old enough that I covered the sounds.
Mm-hmm.
So it's not because of my connection to that era. It's because I don't want – well, I'm trying to be consistent here. I don't want the Titans wearing the Houston Oilers uniform. That seems to me to be disrespectful. Don't you think that's – if the Titans use the oil derrick, isn't that disrespectful?
Yeah, I'm with you. What I really don't like, though –
so why is it any different?
I don't like when the Titans tell, like, the University of Houston when they wear, like, the Oilers-inspired uniform. Like, you can't do that. I think they sent them a cease and desist letter. I don't know. I don't know. The sounds uniform for me, it's like, it's fine. It's just kind of nothing.
We can find agreement in the fact that that last night was perfect. When you're playing – when you're playing Toronto, that was perfect.
Looks like Brad did an impromptu show poll.
Really? What did he do?
Which do you like better? Which Memphis Grizzlies alternate jersey do you like better?
Did he send out a Jeff Calkins show poll?
He did not use He did not use the hashtag, so the 92.9 account did. I can't actually vote in this one, though.
It's unauthorized. I'm not going to retweet. Not going to retweet this.
I will.
Unauthorized. We can't have people just making up. You know, this is like Elon Musk breaking into the freaking treasury. You know, like I can't just have Brad breaking into our show and sending out Jeff Calkins show polls. You know,
they're sacred.
There's a certain way we do things here. And the way that we do things is to just make S up on the fly.
Correct.
But at least it's us making it up on the fly. So anyway, anything else you want to discuss in the world of trade, in the very, very lively world of trade deadline chaos. It is interesting.
I just found myself getting so mad at Dallas.
No one
again.
Does it better than the NBA, though. Like, the NBA doesn't do it. Like, they have literally overshadowed the Super Bowl this week. In terms of sports talk, I definitely agree. I listen to Unsportsmanlike most part of my show prep. I see what they're talking about on Unsportsmanlike. And no matter what time of year, you know what they're talking about? The NFL. No matter what time of year, what they're talking about is the NFL. It could be World Series week. It could be whatever. It doesn't really matter what's happening.
NBA Finals.
NBA Finals. They're talking about the NFL. Off-season training camp.
We might have some OTAs that week.
Right. And yet this week, what are they talking about? They're talking about the NBA. It's kind of amazing.
I think, though, a part of that is just the shocking nature of Luka.
It's been stunning. It's been stunning, and I think rage at the Lakers is appropriate. We got more to talk about, including the Tigers winning last night and other matters. We may try to squeeze in a little NFL. And then Chris Harrington's going to join us straight up 10 o'clock. Then right trivia after that. I will remind you, Valentine's Day is bearing down upon you. Absolutely. And Robert Owen Jewelers is there for you. Now through Valentine's Day. They do this every year. It's genius. It's really thoughtful of them, I have to say. Because you spend $99 or more, and you get a dozen fresh roses and a box of chocolates. Heck, that could cost you $99 alone. Instead, you go in there and you get a Love You to the Moon and Back pendant. Beautiful diamond necklace for just $129. And then you got your roses and your chocolate. You pick up right now, you're going to get a voucher for the roses because you don't want the actual roses just yet. And this is all, by the way, while supplies last. They also have the Diamond Essentials, classic collection of crafted diamond solitaire earrings, pendants, bracelets, Prices there starting at $599. Love's Crossing Diamond Necklace, prices starting at $199. It is Robert Irwin Jewelers, the place to go for Valentine's. They got five convenient locations, or shop online at rijewelers.com. Back in a moment. Jeff Calkins Show, 92.9 FM, ESPN.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
All right, back in the Jeff Calkins Show. I didn't mean to stumble into this little uniform thing, Jeffrey. And people, some people do have strong feelings about it. I do not, just to be totally clear. I have no strong feelings about it. Over on Twitter, though, Bobby, I much prefer the Red Sounds unis over the Vancouver unis. In fact, the red ones are my favorite unis, period. 901 Ing says, Sounds are horrible. One of the worst in the NBA. Sincerely, a Memphian for life and a massive Grizz fan. So there you go. So people apparently feel strongly.
I know you don't care about unofficial polls. I just also want to point out 79.2% agree with me on the unofficial poll.
That's fine. We do not report on unofficial reports.
Of course. Yeah.
In your own,
I just want the people have the information out there.
On
Jeff.
Your own yeah. show, uh-huh. you can do
it. I didn't know. It's just information that's out there. I want the people to have it.
The fake news. By the way, more on the Grizzlies. I care more about what they're accomplishing on the court. They are now 35-16. They've won 10 of 11. It is amazing to think that the one loss in there caused massive panic throughout Memphis. It was an ugly
loss. It was a hell of a loss.
It was a hell of a loss, but the one loss in there caused a massive panic, sky is falling stuff throughout Memphis. They are 35-16. Now, Jeffrey, 35-16 is what? That's 51. My math is correct there.
Correct.
Right? Isn't that right? That's 51. So through 51 games, how many Grizzlies teams, if any, do you believe were better than 35-16?
35-16. I'm going to say the 50, was it 58 win? I'm going to say two.
The only team that was better than 35-16 was the 14-15 team. I don't know their win total. You can look it up. The 14-15 team was 38-13 after 51 games. This team is 35-16. So it is the second best start to a Grizzlies season at this point in
the season. They finished with 55, Jeff.
Ever. So there you go. With the win over Toronto, of course, setting up this massive game against Oklahoma City. And sadly, I mean, good for Chet Holmgren and his family and everyone who cares and loves him deeply.
What else are we supposed to say? We're just happy to see him back.
He is. I'd like to beat him when they're healthy,
yeah,
Jeffrey.
Yeah.
Nonsense.
I've always said that. I always want to beat everyone at full strength.
Right, exactly right. So there you go. Well, Chris Harrington will join us and we'll talk more about all of this straight up at 10 o'clock. Then we get right in the right trivia after that. Tigers did prevail yesterday as they defeated Tulsa 83-71. There was a little bit of a scary moment when Musa went down,
yeah,
although it was pretty clear, honestly, he wasn't grabbing his knee. You know, he was grabbing beneath his knee, you know? So it was a relief when
I don't
he came
know if
back.
That necessarily made me feel better.
I didn't.
So sometimes when they grab underneath the knee, that's a ligament.
And then he was watching from the tunnel, and then he's on the bike, and then whatever. It certainly was critical. It reminds you. It's interesting. We just take for granted their health. We take for granted the Grizzlies' ill health, and we take for granted the Tigers' health. By the way, if you ever want to really confuse yourself, go back and look at how much Ja played at Murray State. Totally healthy.
Yeah.
I think he played every game.
Might also be the difference between the old Ohio Valley and the NBA.
Well, it is, yes, it's a different schedule. It's a different level of competition. It's different. Anyway, Musa goes down, so there's a little bit of a scary moment. And I think we're established now. If you're expecting the Tigers to come out and destroy bad teams, you're going to be disappointed. It's just not what they do. And I said it all along. It's human nature. It is human nature. And you know what you can't fight, Jeffrey? Human nature. You can't fight human nature. So they come out and, you know, what is it? A 5-point game, I think it was at the half?
Yeah, like it was 4-5.
And honestly, like they were just, it was just doing dumb stuff in the first half, you know? Like there was obviously the Nick Jourdain moment.
They did a new type of dumb stuff, though. It wasn't like just the turnover. You know, it wasn't turnovers last night.
Well, weirdly, yeah. Season-low 8 turnovers.
Yeah.
Season-low 8 turnovers. I mean, let's be honest. They allowed Tulsa, which is a bad offensive team, to shoot 53% from the field and 42% from three. But it helped, like, take the Nick Jourdain moment. Shoots an air ball, and then he just stops, gives up a dunk, and Penny's like, screw that, I'm yanking you. And he didn't start him in the second half, started P.J. Carter. So... but that's the kind of thing that Penny is fighting because, you know, why would you take Tulsa particularly seriously? They had 20 assists. They had a season low 8 turnovers. Haggerty was good again. 23 points against his old team. Only 2 free throws, and missed them both, by the way. But he was 10 of 16, 3 of 5 from 3. Dane Danger.
Yeah, like continues it. He's on a heater, baby.
Well, if you think about this, that team did what they did in Maui, right? And that was before P.J. Carter became what he's becoming, and it was before Dane Danger became what he was becoming, right? I mean, I do think
that those were the trade deadline acquisitions for the Tigers?
Those are the trade deadline acquisitions for the Tigers. And so if you want to be optimistic, and of course I do, because that's how I'm wired, it's nice to see the progress that they have made even within this season. We talk about the Grizzlies and their what did I say they were? They are
35 and 16, sorry.
Yeah, 35 and 16, and the Tigers are now 19 and 4. You know what that is? It's a lot of winning, Jeffrey. Mm-hmm. It's a lot of winning. 19 and 4, 9 and 1 in the conference. And
54 and 20 by my math.
54 and 20, adding the two.
Mm-hmm.
That's very impressive. So good for the Tigers. It is, though, like if it's funny, like Lenardi yesterday, if you woke up yesterday, checked out your bracketology, Tigers were a 4 seed. You wake up today, Tigers are a 5 seed. So there, you know, whatever. You just got to keep winning. That's what Tennessee, by the way, did. Tennessee knocks off Missouri last night. It was their 5th straight game against the top 15 team. Ziegler and Milicic both back, both scored 21. And then, don't look now, Jeffrey. Those raging Razorbacks.
Yeah.
Arkansas knocks off Texas. Jonell Davis has finally figured out how to score in an Arkansas uniform. He had 24. And Arkansas held Texas to 34% shooting, 6 of 22 from 3. John Calipari, you said this early on, honestly. Others, okay, me, were counting out Arkansas and Calipari and saying, mm-hmm. Yeah, probably not going to make the tournament. You were pointing out, in the SEC, there's plenty of time to make amends. And would you now predict that Arkansas is going to make the tournament, or would you predict that Arkansas is not going to make the tournament?
I want to see a little bit more because in the back of my mind, I think Kentucky is one of the more overrated teams in the country. And Texas is kind of the hallmark of Texas this year is figuring out ways to lose. So these two games are not convincing to me. With that being said, as a stockholder, I at least have gotten some value where like it was basically I had to hold on to it just because I couldn't even sell it. Now, I'm thinking maybe that could turn into something here.
All right. I do want to talk a little bit. We have a busy show because we got Chris back to the trade deadline at 10 o'clock. Then we got Right in the Right Trivia after that. And then we'll revisit, by the way, anything that's happened as we count down the trade deadline.
Nothing has come across the wire yet.
We do have some NFL stuff to talk about. Miles Garrett yesterday said that he had – and was this good advice? Miles Garrett said he spoke to LeBron about how to exit Cleveland. Is that who you like? I'll tell you what LeBron did well. He did not exit Cleveland well.
He went back.
Yes. If Miles, here's LeBron's advice. Okay, here's what you can do. Here's what you do, Miles. You go to Buffalo. You win a Super Bowl. And then after you win a Super Bowl for the Bills, what you do is you come back to Cleveland. By then, they'll be good again. And then you win a Super Bowl for the Browns. And then they will love you.
Yeah, let them get their roster in order.
Let them get their roster. While you're winning take your talents to Orchard Park and win a Super Bowl there. And
maybe
then
two.
Come back. Maybe two. Yep, two would be better. Maybe a little bit of a disappointing first year, but then win a couple. And then come back. And win a Super Bowl in Cleveland, and then you will be loved in Cleveland. Well, that would be the advice, wouldn't it? I mean, what the hell? I guess.
Let me tell you what not to do. Don't go to the Boys and Girls Club on national television with a bunch of 12-year-olds and then announce that you're going to break their heart and you're going to Miami.
Oh, gosh. All right. But correct me if I'm wrong, Jeffrey. Tonight we have the NFL Awards.
Allegedly? Is it Thursday or Friday? Okay, sure.
I think it's tonight. You can Google it. Like, stop paying attention to that fake poll of yours over there. And instead,
I'm trying to watch for trades.
Instead,
I'm doing what you told me.
And so here's what's weird is that Josh Allen is the favorite in all the betting markets to win MVP. And this is what's weird about this is that the people who vote for all pro are the same people who vote for MVP, and Lamar was first team all NFL. So why in the world is Josh Allen the favorite in the betting markets? But he is the favorite in the betting markets to win MVP.
So that has swung so massively because for a long time, Josh was considered a heavy favorite, like minus 300. Then, as you mentioned, when the first-team All-Pro list came out, Lamar jumped to the favorite. My guess is this is nothing more than exposure. Vegas is setting the market based on exposure. I think there was a lot of Josh Allen money that came in. I'll be honest, I think it's better for Lamar to not win, even though like it was voted well in advance. I think if Lamar wins
it is better for Lamar not to win, and it is better for Josh to win just because he doesn't have one. No one will begrudge
Josh
getting one. And no one will say, yeah, you suck in the postseason, right? You know, like they do with Lamar.
Lamar's going to become Mr. Regular Season.
Here's what I don't understand. I don't really understand how if betting markets are actually good arbiters of what will ultimately happen, or if they are simply a way of evening out the money. In other words, we saw this in the election, right? The betting markets all said that Trump was going to win, and he ultimately did win. And the polls were, depending on which one you consulted, were much more mixed. And so the betting markets as predictors, but they're not predictors. The betting market as predict. Yeah. So is it, what's the connection between Like, what the hell is this? What is it based on?
So, in the end, they want a line that is accurate because in a perfect ideal world, you set the line, you get 50%.
No, that's, yeah, but okay, but right. but in other words,
they usually what happens is whether somebody that they are afraid
of this one, Josh Allen or the Josh Allen Lamar one. Like, yeah. they don't care if they're right. They just care that you, they're not predicting who's going to win. They just care. They just want the money on to even up on both sides, right?
Right, but if all the money came in on Josh, because like once Lamar came out as a first team all pro, Lamar jumped to the favorite.
It's only then predictive of what will actually happen is if you assume the people who are betting know what's going to happen
or have
some insight that,
well,
as what to
what I was going to say
happen.
Is what could have easily have happened is somebody that they view as a sharp went and put a bunch of money on Josh Allen, and they go, oh, we got it wrong.
Well, anyway, do you believe Josh Allen is going to win MVP?
I'm going to say yes.
And it is funny. You can say it's the same voters, but people split their votes all the time.
Yes.
It's a different thing. Like, for example, who is going to be the offensive player of the year this year?
Saquon, well, almost assuredly.
It's going to be Saquon. It's not going to be Josh Allen, or it's going to be Lamar. Let me ask you this. Do they play on the offensive side of the football?
They do, Jeff.
So, but people are like, no, we're the offensive player of the year. We're going to make that say that's going to be the non-quarterback thing.
It's the running back of the year.
It's the running back or receiver, right? It's the running back or receiver vote. And the MVP is different than first team all pro. Like, I do think people have different. I can actually make sense of it.
I think you can also say it could have been a compromise.
First team is just who put up the best numbers. That's different than value, right? Value takes into account who's around you, right?
Well, and I think it's entirely possible people didn't really know what to do. So it's like, all right, I'll put Lamar first team, but I'll vote MVP for Josh for the same reasons that you're just mentioning. It's, well, who was more valuable?
So other ones, Kevin O'Connell is the favorite to be coach of the year. Dan Quinn, obviously, also you would think would be in the running.
I think
there,
if they right would have voted after the postseason, I think Dan Quinn would have
be
gotten
Quinn.
It.
Yes, but they don't. So Jared Verse, defensive rookie of the year. Jaden Daniels, offensive rookie of the year. Obviously, how do you feel about Joe Burrow as comeback player of the year?
I'm fine with it. I mean,
it's kind of a
he's coming back from an injury.
He's just coming back from an injury. I don't like that. Who is more of a comeback player, Joe Burrow or Sam Darnold?
Probably Sam Darnold. The thing I didn't like about comeback player of the year, did you see DeMar's a finalist again? Like, well, DeMar played last year. Like, you know what I mean?
Right. Yeah, I don't know. The favorite is Joe Burrow, and it just doesn't strike me. He was awesome. He's still awesome. He's always been awesome. Just sometimes he's hurt. I don't think that makes him a comeback player. You know, maybe if you come back from, you know,
the type of injury that people didn't think you were going to come back from.
Hell, DeMar Hamlin, you know, whatever, some emotional thing or whatever, you know. Yeah.
We're apparently letting him come back years later.
If you come back from devastating Achilles injury that sidelined you for 3 years or 2 years, and then you come back and you have a great year. Yes, but if it's something that everyone knew that you'd be great after you had this thing cleaned up, I don't see why that makes you comeback player of the year.
Yeah.
I don't think it should make you comeback player of the year. So there you go. Anything else particularly strike you in the NFL? Rams are going to host a game in 2026 in Australia.
Yes.
Seems like a long way to go.
Fans first.
Fans!
What time are we going to have to watch that? Is that midnight?
Yeah, I don't know. I lived there for a while, but I can't figure that stuff out. I can barely figure out what time.
I did announce. Because I think they're playing the Eagles, and since they're leaving from LA, I am announcing in 2 years in advance I will be betting the Rams.
Thank you, Jeffrey. Yeah. I appreciate that. All right, we're going to take a break. Before that, I will tell you, Leaders Credit Union, big fan of Leaders Credit Union, and they got... I kind of like walking into a branch. I just do. Like, that's me. And they got an unbelievably incredible technology and an app that you should download and look to see for yourself. And as I've said all along, the thing about Leaders Credit Union is because they exist purely for the benefit of the members. They don't have some, you know, they don't got to be worrying about the stock price or paying dividends to stockholders or making the stockholders happy. They can, every dollar that they generate, they pour back into better technology and into better service and to better rates. But it's also nice that they have a branch you can walk into in Bartlett. And now they got a new one in Arlington. They just opened up their brand new branch in Arlington. It's across from Arlington High School, honestly. And so you can go check them out or check them out online at leaderscu.com/ESPN. Chris Harrington will join us to talk all things trade deadline and Grizz when we return. Then we got Right of the Right Trivia. It's Jeff Calkins Show, 92.9 FM ESPN.